Take two, take two.
Did it do anything?
No, sorry, Kat.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
And I don't want any third-rate rent-a-thug who couldn't cut it as a cop from Chicago bringing him to L.A. on some bullshit local charge.
Hippies and yippies alike fill the streets, waging a war of peace against Mayor Daley's thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah, they got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
Thug life. Did
you fucking apologize? What's the matter with you? Listen, thug means never having to say you're sorry.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey everyone, Jim here. Okay, this is an odd intro to do, but I gotta do it. We had a catastrophe in recording this episode. We got to the end. I was literally about to hit stop on our recording, and my computer that my audio fed into froze completely, and we lost my audio. All of it gone. Thing is, it was an extremely good show. I'm not exaggerating. This is one of the best things that we've done, and there was no way that we could repeat it at all. There wasn't. So the only choice that I had was to pull off Campbell's mic and try and equalize it out. So Campbell's going to sound crisp and awesome, and I'm going to sound like I'm in another room. But I just want you, I would not come out and say that the quality of something on this show was better than it is. And this is good. I'm not going to lie to you. This is one of the best things we've done. So please forgive the quality and the quality of the recording, and just listen to the quality of the content. I trust you're going to like it. Again, I'm sorry. We fixed it after this. We were both mortified. This literally almost derailed all of our recording that night. But, I hope you like it. Please let us know that you do. Please, on this one particularly, if you like it, email. If not, let us know. It was bad. So, anyway, that will explain why it sounds weird. Thank you for listening.
Now, back to our show.
What?
I'm sorry. I just, like, totally ruined that moment, didn't I?
No, no.
It's just that, like, we're not going to make out, okay?
Oh, no, I hadn't planned on trying.
Oh, I am so lame. That was, like, really... I'm sorry. I forget I just said that. That's dumb. And you know what I do when I feel completely unoriginal?
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Blah, 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 blah.
The fuck are you doing?
I make a noise or I do something that no one has ever done before, and then I can feel unique again, even if it's only for, like... a second.
Oh, good for you.
So no one's ever done that?
No! No! Don't shut me up!
No, not in the spot, no. You just witnessed a completely original moment in human history.
Fuck's sake, man, you're amateur.
It's refreshing. You should try it.
Oh, no, thanks.
No, come on.
No, you know what? I think that was good enough for the both of us.
Okay. Say something in yours.
Something in mine.
Awesome. If I had to put down my favorite Omar line, it's How do?
How do?
That, just the way he... How help me? I know, with a fucking shotgun at your head. How do?
Now, I haven't finished The Wire, much to Phil's chagrin.
Yeah.
Do they ever get any fucking pit beef in that show?
I don't think so.
Guess what? I'm not finishing that show. Pit beef! That show should change from The Wire to the pit beef sandwich.
Yeah. There's, I don't know, yeah, I don't think there is any pit beef.
Hey, McNutty, give me a, get me a pit beef sandwich. That's all it takes. That'd a line. That, allude to it.
That'd be McNutty. I still love David Simon saying that, Ed Burns said that the hardest job in the world is being a teacher. And he'd been an undercover, he'd been a homicide cop and a combat vet from Vietnam. And he said the hardest job in the world is teaching. And the thing is, I'm going to amend that. He was a middle school teacher.
Yeah.
I'm a pussy. But yeah, I have ninth graders. High school's one. Middle school?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
It would, like, it's weird. At conventions where they have speakers and stuff, when somebody's like, oh, well, who here teaches elementary school? Who here teaches middle school? They're like, okay, everyone. And everyone's like, thank you. That is fucking rough.
Right. You're not even really a human till you're past 25. Mm-hmm. And even then, you're kind of on shaky ground. At middle school, you're just kind of an amoeba.
Actually, the term is psychosexual beings.
Ah.
As freshmen, they won't stop touching each other.
Right.
And it's funny. I tell all my upperclassmen that freshmen stink. And they're like, no, they don't. That's nothing. One junior came by to drop off a paper during a freshman class. She comes over. I said, yes, they are. And she goes, they smell like freshmen. I thought you were making that up. It's like, no, I wasn't. I really...
The pheromones are pouring out of their pores.
Oh, God, it's like being on a bus in Italy. It's just horrible. So, welcome back.
Hi.
I'm your Italian bus driver.
All right.
No, I think that our discussion is appropriate for what we're going with.
Pit beef sandwiches?
Pit beef sandwiches. This is an entire... This is the... Okay, a couple years back, I actually got a...
Funny story about pit beef.
Actually,
this is a gold one, Jim. Go ahead.
Funny story about sandwiches. I said to the guy who was... the guy who taught next door to me a couple years back, I was talking about the Boondock Saints, and I said, that movie features the worst sandwich in the history of film. And he says, thinking it's going to be a funny time, he goes, what's the best sandwich? Without delay, I said, back to school. When Rodney Dangerfield empties out the loaf of bread and fills it with meatballs. Best sandwich in film.
It's pretty good. Like, made better by the beer in his pocket.
Yes, yes. But the reaction I got from my friend was, I was not expecting you to have an answer. But no. You didn't even pause about that. Mm. Yeah, back to school, no question. What are you, stupid? Why would you even ask me that?
Right.
But what we're looking at today is this started out as an idea that we were going to jack from the Adams, but you gave a different direction on it.
Yes. That can't be right at all.
I suggested we do a Too Old for This show, which I originally thought was going to be about people who had gotten too old to do what they're doing.
Right.
Which I do have some on here.
Okay.
You said something about Scott Pilgrim. And I said, you know, wait a minute, no. Let's do something about the shit that we are too old for in movies. That just we look at it and go, eh. That maybe once it worked on us, but now it's gone.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of that.
Now, I think that what I'm going to start with here to hopefully clarify, and we can talk about it some and see what we come up with, is what my problem with Scott Pilgrim is. And I remember for a while saying, I'm too old.
Well, it's nothing in there saying, hey, watch me.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's not saying that that's an unwatchable film or you're an idiot for watching. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. It's more of a, well, that kind of looks neat visually, but.
It's really neat and could have been awesome. I have one I enjoyed it. I found it a totally entertaining.
Right.
And to quote Hunter, completely watchable movie. It's
like Bud Light. It has drunkability.
Yes,
drunkability. Drinkability.
Like greened beans.
Like greened beans. Or this German beer that's not Bud Light.
No, it's not. But surprisingly drinkable.
Mm.
Walkable shoes. Nice.
I just drank it.
Oh, my God. No, guys, you really did.
I did.
That wasn't just a fancy radio trick.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what's drinkability in German? Franz and Kana?
No, Franz. Drinkability would be Trinken something.
But I just wanted to do that because I knew you'd answer it.
And here I am being all academic. Well
if you. Beef sandwiches.
But with that, watching that movie, I realized that there's something that's done a lot in film lately that I'm just done with. I'm too
old. Michael Cera?
Yes. But Michael Cera actually falls into this a lot, and it's the huge problem with two characters in that movie. And it's what I call assumptive heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they are the main character, therefore they are the protagonist, therefore I don't have to do any work, you're just immediately going to sympathize with them.
Right.
Scott Pilgrim himself is not likable. It's not that he's unlikable, it's just there's nothing about him that I...
Nothing that says hero.
Exactly, nothing at all. And the woman that he falls for... Nothing about her. No,
there's a. I can make a remake of this.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to date, you have to defeat my. How many ex-boyfriends is it?
Seven
evil ex-boyfriends.
Uh-huh.
No.
No. Here's how it's even worse. Okay.
I'm not doing that.
So he is starts off the play. He's 23, dating a 17-year-old high school girl.
Oh, he's a creep.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Her name is Knives. For no fucking reason other than they have a scene where she has knives.
See, you're so old. It's edgy.
But no, here's the thing. She is like the sweetest, like, she is the only character that I felt anything for in that movie. I was like, oh.
Oh, the his girlfriend.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Not the whatever.
No. Oh, whoa, no. He's dating this girl.
Right? Okay.
Then he sees this chick somewhere. Then bumps into her at a party and realizes, oh, now... out of nowhere, for no reason, I have to dump this 17-year-old. And all you know is, man, she's a sweet kid, and that's going to fucking hurt her. And I don't want to see her hurt, because there's nothing built in that makes me like you or this broad that you're in love with. And guess what? There's nothing built in to give you a reason for liking her.
You're a no-good cad, Michael Cera.
Exactly, yes.
You're a heartbreaker.
Yes. Chris Evans and Brandon Routh absolutely steal the fucking show in that.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Routh is amazing. He plays a rock star.
Right.
And he slaps Knives, the young Asian girl, so hard that it knocks the highlights out of her hair. And he goes, so what? I hit a girl. I'm a rock star.
He's the one that has vegan powers, right?
Yes, he has vegan powers. Right. And it's done brilliantly. But then it has Cliff Collins and Thomas Jane pop up in the most brilliant cameo ever as the vegan police.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Oh my God, that was fucking awesome. But the central problem with the movie was, why do I give a shit about Ramona? Why do I give a shit about Scott? I don't, because I've never given a reason to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of movies do this, where if you step back and look at it and go, wait a minute. Superbad kind of did it. Those guys are assholes.
Yeah, I didn't like those little bastards.
I liked the movie, but those guys were fucking pricks.
Yeah.
Get him to the Greek. Jonah Hill's character in that. I know you're not going to see it.
No.
Pisses me off.
Right.
Because, yeah, he's got the abrasive thing going, but I'm like, why do I care about this guy? He's a cock.
Right.
He's a fat cock.
There you have it.
You think on that
front. Yeah, right sure.
But, yeah, why? It's become a lazy, lazy thing where they will just assume, oh, they see them as the lead character, therefore they're going to be on their side.
It's not unlike Karate Kid.
It's exactly like Karate Kid. It's exactly like Last American Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
LaRusso and Gary were the ones that made me realize this. But then you go and look at the remake of Karate Kid, which you probably haven't seen yet.
No.
They fix it.
That's good.
Feel so much. I felt so much more for that kid. And they're always be like, well, it doesn't have the iconic this or that. Yeah, but you know what it does have? A little thing I like to call character development.
Yes.
Which is an amazing thing when it's done. Not when it's done right, just when it's fucking done.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's assumptive heroes is my big thing. Like just assuming that me as an audience member is going to say, yes.
Yes, Gary.
I'm going to go with
I really like Gary.
Exactly.
I identify with stalking, orange, bag of oranges, Christmas tree, abortion paid for by a stolen stereo, fucking Gary.
I was telling a friend of VJ's about that this weekend. I was like, He's standing there with, you know, the traditional post-abortion oranges.
Right. Yes.
This is common in California. Right. Israel, apparently.
Right. Not that I would identify with the loudmouth fat guy that's not afraid to talk to women.
Yeah.
You know, I probably would identify with the fat guy that can talk to girls.
Mm-hmm.
Not fucking Gary.
That's right, Gary man.
Man.
Man. But that
Gary
brings me actually to the person who has become sort of the king of this. And if you look through his oeuvre, it's Kevin Smith.
Oh, put your ass.
Has Kevin Smith ever had... With the exception of, I know you're not a fan of the movie, but with the exception of Dogma, where they kind of...
No, but at least it's obvious in Dogma.
Yeah, and Fiorentino is given the chance
right
to be really likable. But Clerks, any reason to like those guys?
No. No, none at all.
Mallrats, no.
Chasing no.
Amy,
kind of.
But, you know, definitely not Clerks 2, not in Zack and Mary.
No.
Not in Jay and Silent Bob.
No.
Jersey Girl, sort of.
But it's not even that kind of story, I guess.
Yeah, but... Name one protagonist in a Kevin Smith thing that you're not rooting for just because there's no one else there for you to cheer for.
No.
You know who I like most from the Kevin Smith stuff? Leonardo.
Yes.
Yes. Remember my story. I'm suing the government for some bad meat. Everyone knows that you're a multi-billionaire businessman who's suing the government over some bad meat. But no, he doesn't give you anyone to fucking cheer for. He just doesn't at all.
Right.
Now we're going to go to a different extreme for the next one. Shock.
Oh, Shock. Please. I'm beaten to death with that shit.
And I'm not even talking about...
I'm not even talking about horror.
Yeah, same, exactly. Get out of my fucking head. That's where it's the crude, gross humor that's done just to get attention.
I hate to sound like my parents, but I'm going to sound like my parents.
Do it.
You don't have to say... Just because you and your friends talk like you and I do,
right,
when we're, especially when we're not recording, fuck this, motherfucker, cocksucker, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, most guys talk like that, I would think. Or a lot of us. Anyone listening to this show sure as fuck does.
Yes.
See? Sure as fuck does. Just because you talk like it, you might not want to write like it. I know you're supposed to write what you know, but maybe not.
Right.
It's like, how many fucks can we put in a paragraph?
Uh-huh.
Maybe not all of them. How about that?
Yeah. Well, but even then, let's go back to...
Cocksucker motherfucker. I mean, all the description. And but, it's like Harry Knowles wrote a script. God forbid.
Whoa.
That's right, big man.
Good God. Well, I forgot who it was. I think it was Eric who wrote the thing about going to see the John Hughes thing that Kevin Smith was at.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith's there in front of... John Hughes' fucking widow and children, and he's saying, fuck this, fuck that, makes a reference to coming, and it's like, really? Why do you gotta, what, to use your term, why do you gotta show your ass?
Right,
what,
right.
Seriously, what the hell? What
why?
What's gaining with that? Go back to Superbad. If they had not had the scene where the girl has her period on his leg, would anything have been lost from that movie?
No.
No, that wasn't funny, it was just gross. And there, I remember listening that...
Go to bed, old man. You're uptight, old man.
Watch that. The friend of my parents, Peter, who took me to see Lawrence of Arabia, I was really big into listening to stand-up comedy records at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Huge into it. And I had Robin Williams live at the Met.
Yeah.
One of those, one of the, I think he was still doing coke.
What year was it?
That was mid-80s.
Yes.
Okay, so he still was. And he goes into this whole thing about how there needs to be a black Dr. Ruth, just Dr. Ruth. And then starts doing just going this really crude sex stuff. And Peter says, yeah, the audience is laughing because they're uncomfortable.
Hmm.
He's not funny. They're laughing because they're uncomfortable. And it's like, that as a kid really got into my head. I was like, shit.
Hmm.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, you're dead on there.
Yeah.
That some crude humor every once in a while. I don't have a problem with crude humor.
No, no, no. It's just, it's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Well, it may have started off as shocking and funny and, ooh, wow. Especially at a certain age.
Yeah.
But... It seems to be the same kind of crap. And I'm not trying to kick Dane Cook while he's Dane Cook, but there's a lot of Dane Cook going on.
Yeah, there is.
A lot of it.
Well,
like, everybody's cool. We all know what we're talking about. And they do in that context. Yeah. It's the show they paid to see him in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the writing part of it is kind of lazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, like, let's look at something about...
What am I talking about? I don't write a fucking thing.
There are two parts of Something About Mary that I want to talk about here. First off, a part that was over the top, but I think was brilliant the way it was done, and that was the dick in the zipper.
Yes.
Because it was necessary, and it built, and it just added, showing it added so much to his humiliation.
And they just draw it out. Yeah. It's a joke that just, it's excruciating, it never ends.
You see it, it's like, oh. But then jump a little later, and the whole load on the ear, and the gummy hair.
Yeah.
That was kind of humorous at the time, but you really look at it, it's like, that was so unnecessary and just done for a semen in the hair joke, which I guess they don't write them like they used to.
The old vaudeville trick.
Yes. But then,
speculum, I love those cum jokes.
There's two different...
Knock them dead, Poughkeepsie.
Well, there's two... Like, you can be crass and do all that shit, but still fit it directly into the plot in a way that makes it... So it's adding to it. That literally added nothing.
Right.
And all it did was get kind of an uncomfortable...
Yeah.
And horror, forget about it.
No,
it
has
gone into such...
over with.
Yeah, I wrote a review about... I'm going to write a whole piece at some point about this, because now I'm professional.
That's right, you are.
Yeah, one published for $10. That's right.
$10 American.
But how Blue Valentine gets an NC-17 rating, which thank God they got overturned. Thank God they got overturned, because that is a beautiful movie that deals with just... the uncomfortable, heartbreaking shit that relationships can turn into.
Sure.
But that gets an NC-17. Human Centipede gets an R.
Yeah.
I have no interest in ever seeing the Human Centipede at all.
None at all. My friend Mark, who went to the Austin Comic Con, I believe you went to the Sunday one, he was there listening to a shoot interview with Kevin Nash. Mm-hmm. And... professional wrestler. Uh-huh. And just across the way over yonder was the Human Centipede panel. He was there for 7 hours. He never saw one person there.
Yeah.
So, God, if you're listening, hold off on the whole end of the world thing. There may be hope.
Yes, exactly. Well, and I look at the Human Centipede, and all that I think when I look at the idea of that is somebody who thinks that if I push it this far... oh, then I'm really going to mess with people's minds.
Art is dangerous. It has no boundaries.
Yes.
Don't be such a stuck-up little bastard. Don't be a stupid American.
Exactly.
So get yourself a Human Centipede with Pepsi.
Well, and... yes, exactly. Well, and you know who's falling into that mode more with some of the stuff I've seen? Johnny Carpenter a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, he's gone away from what worked for him. And just being so explicit with the last few things that he did that it's like... Oh,
who knows?
Man. You were the white knight. You were the great hope of this.
It seemed like he was just going, oh, okay, you kids want this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about this? No.
There you go. Have a Ricky Rude.
Though, had I been at the Comic-Con, going back to the Centipede thing,
yes.
I would have liked to have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and I would have run a program on him asking them about the movie as if it were a movie about the video game.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God, that would have been so great.
Hey, how'd you get the mushrooms? How'd you get them to look real in mushroom? It's hard, because when the fly comes out, the spider, I can never get away from the spider. How'd you do that?
How did you incorporate rollerball technology?
How'd you do that? How did you get all of those game stations into all the Pizza Huts in Texas? Until someone had to throw us out, which probably wouldn't happen.
Human Centipede, would it, like, in my mind, I'm like, could it be like a Last Starfighter, but like they're using it to find intergalactic exterminators?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Somewhere in Rodeo.
Yeah. There's someone to set up.
Yes. So, my next, I think sort of goes without saying, it's high school movies.
High school movies, yeah. It's kind of like pop music.
Yeah.
It just has to be there for a certain demographic.
Well, mine has become more personal because, like, when I was a kid, I'd watch shit and I'd be like, I wish I was that guy. I wish I was that guy. Although Cracked Online has this brilliant piece about what movie high school would have been the worst to go to. And they were saying the one from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And people are like, no, that'd be great. They're like, no, you're saying that assuming you would be Ferris.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be. You'd be one of these other people. And I realize the place grounds to a halt because Ferris is out sick, which means, best case scenario, it's a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that... Now I look at it like I used to be like, oh man, I wish I was Ferris Bueller. Yeah! Or I wish I was in one of those movies in Chicago where the rich people hate the slightly less rich.
No, you could be Cameron. Yes. Without the money.
Mm-hmm. How droll. Mm. But now I look at it and I'm like, that's completely impractical. They're in the hall. No.
That wouldn't
like,
happen.
They should be, no, they should be in class. Where is the learning? Do you have any idea how much instructional time they're missing? You know what's going to happen? They're not going to be able to learn how to write the conclusion of the essay, and then they're not going to pass the standardized test. They're juniors. That's exit level.
All because of Ferris.
They're not going to graduate. My God, do they not realize their future? That's what I've turned into. I must be, when it comes to those movies, like somebody who just finished law school, watching a or like somebody,
watching League Legals?
Yeah. Or
that's so unprofessional.
Or a doctor watching House. He would go to jail.
My brother-in-law watching any cop movie ever.
Yeah. What?
That wouldn't happen. They'd shoot right through that armor. Ken, we're watching RoboCop.
Did that cop just fire his gun?
Yeah.
He's going to be filling out paperwork
for
a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. But yes, the high school movies have... here's one that has been getting on my nerves for a long time, and I've finally seen a movie that responds to it. I think they call it, in some circles, the magical pixie girl, where it's... You know, there's the uptight guy who meets the free spirit girl, and she teaches him the joys of irresponsibility and being a fuckhead.
In a strange way, we're orbiting around each other with this thought. Uh-huh. What I used to call this was the girl riding out on top of the Jeep with her hair in the wind. Faster, yes, I'm free. Yes. Yeah, like what the hell was that movie with Chris O'Donnell and Drew Barrymore,
Crazy
which
love.
He does that exact thing.
Crazy love.
And I thought, what? That's always that free spirit chick that's just pinned down by life and all this is blah, blah, blah. Now she's free and teaching the pinned up guy how to be free too.
You know what movie Hope pointed out to me is so perfect?
Maybe I just hate Crazy Love.
Have you ever seen Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No.
You'll love it because it is about...
Nicole just threw something at the microphone. At the microphone, at her computer.
Well, maybe if someone had let you watch that instead of watching Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band the fifth time, maybe you're... That's the first cross-the-table high five in the history of the show.
I had a problem with that movie, but yeah. I have seen it a lot.
You kind of... Yeah. But she ends up... She's the, but she grows up in the end and stays with the kind of straight-laced guy.
Yeah.
And Hope came up with that because I said, I really want to see a movie where the free spirit, wacky girl meets the straight-laced guy and she fucking grows up and she learns to be somewhere on time and have a fucking job and not be a goddamn pain in the ass everywhere.
Like Closer.
Yes. Yes. They need, and I'm not talking about crushing the free spirit. I'm saying be a get a job. God damn it.
Yeah.
Somebody has to pay that rent. Am I paying? Is that coming from me?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that, I am tired of, because there's that, it creates such an unrealistic idea of, oh, that woman's going to save me. And
yeah,
it's this crazy romantic notion, but, like, whenever I see that weird shit, I'm reminded of an Onion article where it says, romantic comedy behavior lands man in jail. And it's true.
If you were stop running in the airport, you'll be tackled.
Yeah, if you were to break into her apartment and fill it with balloons, our first date. And the next day she came home to us like, he was in my house. He was here.
The balloons are coming from inside the house.
Get out of there. But that, and I guess it even fits with, you know, the free spirit artist, too. And it's not just the girls. It's a free spirit artist guy who finds this. Why can't we have one where that guy learns the joy of, you know, a weekend off after a hard week at work, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, why can't we have that? Why can't we have...
The Clarkson story.
Yes, exactly. The crazy guy learned, you know, one beer at 6 o'clock... really tastes good when you've been at work since 5 a.m.
It really does.
Not 6 a.m. beer. Because
No. Because that would be barfly.
Yes, that would be. Although I stand by this. I've got to partake in one of my favorite things ever because we got out early.
Mm-hmm.
The two greatest words in the history of the English language. Lunch beers.
Yeah.
And there's just an implied leisure.
Exactly.
And to me, that's as wacky and free-spirited as I want in my
life. I had two Dos Equis with my sandwich.
I'm crazy.
My pit beef sandwich.
Yes.
That's what I do.
And I'm not, you know, and I guess it's this ideal that we have that the crazy artistic types are so much freer than we are, but they're not.
No, they're a lot more broke than the rest of us.
I should know some of them. Hang out with them. Mm. You know, hang out with some dude who, you know, went to college and is now dumpster diving because he thinks it makes him cool.
Is he a freegan? No, he's broke.
He's broke, yeah, sorry. sorry, but my white belt is at the cleaners. I can't go. I don't have a deep enough V to go hang out with
exactly.
You. Sorry. But yeah, that shit gets on my nerves. And I'm kind of glad Natalie Portman's taken the turn she has because she was in Garden State.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Danger of that. And I'm going to admit to this. I fell for Garden State at first.
Hey, so did I.
Everyone did. And then you kind of step back and look at it and go, all of these people are horrible. All of them are awful. That guy is grave robber.
Didn't that happen also in, what the hell is it called? Elizabethtown?
Kind of, except...
Or am I getting them
Elizabethtown
crossed?
Elizabethtown is a whole other story for me because they didn't dedicate enough to anything for that to be about that. She wasn't a free spirit. She had a job. She worked. She just kind of helped him. And that was more of a stop being a fucking workaholic.
Oh, yeah.
Your dad just died. Give yourself a break. That's more what she did. She was more...
Right, whereas in real life, the guy wouldn't just pull off and do a funny dance by himself. He would just read that note and say, oh, okay. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's so sweet. They did... That movie frustrates me so much. And that... I want to do a show on movies that could have been. Because that... They did a thing like 6 months before that movie came out where they released some footage that was set to... Elton John's My Father's Gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. And I looked at that and I was like, this is going to be the best fucking movie ever. And it just missed somehow.
Too many things going on at once.
Yeah, way too many. And the thing is with her, she was more... She wasn't the free spirit. She was more a real person looking at a workaholic saying, dude,
yeah,
what's the point in all of that if you're not even able to give yourself time to deal with the fact that your dad died?
Right.
You know, seriously, what is the point of all of this? But that, like, and I want real people having real relationships, you know?
You find
that woman who's smart and funny and stable and makes you less of a dick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because I know so many guys like that. I see one in the mirror every morning.
Yes.
Who used to be a raging prick. What you guys are getting here, what you guys are getting here is like my asshole turned to like... Six.
What an image.
Yes. Mine used to be, I used to have a giant red baboon ass. That's
right.
What I was. But I've met women that I've been lucky enough to have two relationships that have helped me like, oh, all
right. Right.
I cannot be. One of them went bad. The other one's still pretty cool.
Right.
But yeah, and that's what I want a relationship movie to be. Not some crazy pain in the ass. Some broad that I would slap at a party. Or at least once.
Again.
In my mind, I would be breaking every bone in my hand, open-handed slapping her. next to the greened beans. But yeah, that's it. I want real people behaving like real adults.
Sure.
So, my next one. Previews.
Okay.
Too old for them, man.
You're too old for previews?
I'm done with them. Well, in the way that they're intended to be. Like, okay. Every once in a while, I see, like, okay, that's kind of cool. I might be interested in that. But the, oh, here's the most intense, blah, blah. Like, no, I'm fucking old for it. You know, the ones that really try and sell you a piece of shit as being a good movie.
Well, see, Jim, there's a lot of people out there that fall for that.
Yes.
That there's a reason the ring toss game is still there.
Right.
And that's people are carnival barking, and that's what they do.
Well, it's like, you know, a friend of mine recently said, oh, I want to go see this movie, which I'm not going to mention because we're going to talk about this in a little bit, and said, yeah, man, the preview's so good. And I was like, oh, well, if the preview was good. Seriously, now I'm just... The only preview I've seen recently that turned me on to a movie that I ended up really digging was The Social Network.
Right.
The first preview that had the Radiohead song.
Yeah.
And that was just because it was so subtle. I mean, it didn't... But these things where it's like, here's some action followed by another man who does more action.
In a world.
And wait for a moment, here comes the beginning. explosion.
Right.
I'm just kind of done with them. I used to be like, oh, they're the best part of the movie. I'm so excited. And now I'm like, no.
The walking away explosion.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, what I hate is the pause at the end and then the jump at the camera.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God, that angers me. It angers me.
I understand.
But yeah, that I'm sort of done with gravies, man. I just am.
I'm done with all the end of superhero movies where the character or cape of character flies at the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And I accepted it in Batman Begins.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore. Like, this, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. Speaking of, have you seen the previews for the show, The Cape?
No.
It's like NBC sent. Now we've given up. It's kind of like Manimal, but with a cape. No, it's...
He turns into a cape?
Yes, he turns into a cape.
There's only going to be half a season?
Yes. I know. It's got like Vinnie Jones playing a guy who looks like a lizard who's one of the bad guys and some other dude with weird eyes. It's like a dude who's becoming a superhero. It looks stupid. With a T at the end of that.
This is not the Misfits of Science.
It's going to fail miserably.
Right.
It's like Electro Man or whatever that shit was. Some guy who came out of a computer.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cursor.
Uh-huh. Cursor, yes.
Yeah, like his Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm. But no, it's... yeah, that's going to be horrid. Next one I'm done with. Special effects. CGI in particular.
Oh, yeah.
CGI in general. There's only been one use of visual effects lately that I've been really with. And that was what they did with Armie Hammer in Social Network, where he plays twins.
Okay, well, yeah.
What they do is they have another actor that he'll basically do the scene with him there, then they'll switch roles, do the scene, and they'll take his face off and digitally put it on the other person. So he's acting with himself, but it's fucking seamless.
Oh, that's cool.
It doesn't jump out and say, oh, look at this.
Right.
I'm so tired of special effects. I'm just tired of them, man. I can't deal with
it. I want wire work.
Yeah, I want wire work. I want cars getting blown up. I want real shit happening. I want motherfuckers' lives in danger.
Digital blood is a real bugaboo of mine. As a person who enjoys his dumb action movies,
yeah.
I found that a bit much in The Expendables.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a fabulous, stupid romp. It was a goddamn American masterpiece of, hey, who's been working too much to think? You have, Mr. Campbell.
Awesome.
Watch this. Things go boom. You'll love it. And I kind of did.
Yeah.
Beat the shit out of these guys at basketball court. It's great.
Awesome.
But there's digital blood. I'm like, what the hell, man? Squibs are a fucking art form.
Yeah, how expensive is Cairo syrup and food coloring?
Just saying.
Not that expensive. It really isn't.
Yeah. No, yeah. Tom Savini, fucking George Romero used them. It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You could do what Sam Raimi did and just have folks put fucking latex house paint in their mouth and spit it out.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell.
It's going to go wrong.
I'm going to lose a couple years off my life for the amount of that shit I swallowed while we were making that movie. Probably, Bruce.
Probably.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump to some actors real quick because I've got one left on this list here that I'm going to save for a moment. Now, let's talk briefly about actors and directors who are just too fucking old. And I've got a couple on here that I want to discuss. One that I think we have to pair together, and that is Messrs. De Niro and Pacino.
Yeah.
And it's not that they've gotten so old that they lack talent. It's that they just don't seem to care anymore.
Well, you know, you're worth what someone's willing to pay you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess they figure, hey, we've done enough quality work. I don't know. I wouldn't do that, but who says I wouldn't? Maybe I would. They'd just say, oh, the hell with it. I've done nothing else to prove.
Yeah.
Give me my check.
Yeah.
So these multiple homes aren't paying for themselves.
Right.
I've got a double dose of fucker in him. Double dose. Pay me.
Awesome.
As I know, he's like in the room with us.
I know. I saw a split second of the Little Fockers preview.
Mm.
I wanted to cut off a toe.
Yeah.
Just.
But
to remind
myself, like the ring toss game.
Yeah, it's there.
They'll be there.
Like I really liked Meet the Parents because it was different. It was interesting.
It's some funny moments.
Did you ever play the shit out of it when he was reading the poem about his mom?
Hilarious.
You were God's angel. When the cancer tore through your body like an unstoppable rebel force. It was great, but from that moment, like, think I've ever been as embarrassed for a human being as I was for both parties when De Niro popped up on inside the actor's studio.
Mm.
I don't know how Jimmy Lipton was able to do the whole interview from De Niro, from all the way up De Niro's ass. Because yes. He was the whole time. It was like a puppy that brought the tennis ball back for the first time. Like, I'm good, right? You like me, right? Just makes you like me more, right? And now you'll rub my belly and give me a treat, right?
Why did you call it the Tribeca Film Festival? I live there. Excellent.
Has there ever been a worse interview than De Niro?
No.
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence?
No, because Martin Lawrence, there's a chance he might kill someone. De Niro is just like, hey, yeah. Lipton was like, and then you were in a movie where you had quite a lot of fun. Ben Stiller's last name. Tell us about it.
Right.
Why don't you tell us about Godfather 2?
Yeah, please.
How about we do that?
Please,
instead?
Please. King of comedy, for the love of God.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
You were in a movie. The incomparable Rene Russo and Jason Alexander. Where did your inspiration for Fearless Leader come from? I know that the voice doesn't sound right, but you're not seeing me transform into Jimmy Lipton.
It's true.
It's the... So wrong.
You can't call me Robert Reich.
He was giving him that doe-eyed.
Yes.
And it reminds me of so many of the directors that we had back in the day in theater, where it's like, now I want you to walk across the stage as if you were a cheetah. Really? Really? Now I want you to sell strawberries. I want you to shout out strawberries, but stress the O. What? There's not an O in strawberries. You just get so horribly embarrassed for all parties involved.
Right.
But he was kissing his ass, like, to the point where De Niro's like, yeah, I was never officially, part of the school. I did some plays here, so I was kind of counted when the dude was like, oh, well, we're like the mafia. It's blood in, blood out. And just looking at him like, ooh. I'm going to make an entire doll village out of your skin. Like, I'm just going to play with my De Niro doll village.
Right, that's right.
This one I call Moly because I made him out of the mole. It was so horribly embarrassing. It's just seeing all these kids like, we're getting credit for being here, right? Okay, cool. Old man Lipton's about to go bug shit again.
Why is it that I think I wouldn't take that acting school any more serious than the theater department at my original college? I'd be asleep in the back of that one too.
Well, you and I, it's weird.
Oh, movement, huh? Great.
For as much as you and I got into the method training and shit, we had so much more of the British work.
Oh, yeah, I never got the method thing. I mean, I appreciate it, and some misguided 16-year-old man said, oh, I understand that, man. I can put myself in that head with my memories. Oh, my memories that a 16-year-old will have.
Yes.
You know, I don't have enough experience to even do that.
I've lived.
But, I can get... Fucking make-believe.
Hey, man, I had my learner's permit for 8 months. I've lived.
Yeah, I can play make-believe better than you, period.
But then...
Hire me, David Mamet. Hire me.
Then there's the other side of it, where, like, De Niro went into, what stupid shit will I get paid for? Pacino went into, how much of an insane caricature can I make of myself? as the Adams call it.
Let me mention Strasburg.
As they call it, hoo-ha-ing.
Yes.
Because that's all it is. Wow, what?
Yeah.
I'm over here. Wet spot.
Exactly.
Underneath your chair. When did he become Southern?
Watch my TV. Yeah, I don't know. He's got an
odd little twang to it nowadays. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird is Heat, I think, was the last time they were both amazing in something. And there were, in Pacino at least, that was the first time I was like, that's a bit silly.
That man is on cocaine.
The moment where I thought, there are two lines that he had where I was like, something's off with Mr. Pacino. First was, because she's got a great ass
and you got your head all the way up it.
And the other one, you could get killed walking your doggy.
Oh, yes.
What?
Walking your doggy.
Walking your doggy.
Time she gets a phoenix. I get to phoenix, she'll be rising. Okay, Al.
Yeah.
That's not in the script, is it?
When did he...
I like to think of how many times man had that shot.
Yeah.
Where he did the walk in the doggy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be at least 100 takes.
Right.
of that.
And then he just goes, this one's
the least embarrassing. Let's just do this one.
Great job, Al.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, you. Someone get him back to his trailer.
Yeah.
Cover those windows with foil. So we've mentioned Smith and Carpenter. There's one guy here who... And Robin Williams, I think we've...
Oh, my.
He was always teetering on the age of embarrassment. And I think that once I hit a certain age where I was able to look at him and go, is he just saying the same things over and over again?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh. I saw this movie, Easy Riders and Raging Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really fucking good documentary. But there's scenes where he's talking, because he was part of the scene back then.
Right.
And he'll be given a really serious answer. He's like, oh, you know, they'll be out of film. And it's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, shut up.
He can't help it.
Fucking do that.
He has Tourette's.
Yeah, he's fucking got a... something. I don't know. But no, Robin Williams, Eddie Murphy. What the fuck happened to Eddie Murphy?
I don't know, man, but... It sure did. And it happened a lot.
Yeah, it happened a lot. I mean, first off, the only person who's doing kids' movies now that I find even a little bit more surprising than Mr. Murphy is Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Ice Cube's doing kids' movies?
But Ice Cube never... He knew the score when he walked onto his first set. He's like, all right, I know it. Whatever. I'm just going to do this. Yeah. No big deal. Yeah. It's not like he fell anywhere. He just had a lateral movement the entire time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But I listened to some NWA the other day. This guy's in kids' movies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When I get called off, I pull a sod off. I pull the trigger, and bodies get hauled off. Are we there
yet? Exactly. I can get paid like this. I'm going to do this.
Shit, this is so much better. I'm going to produce a Tyler Perry show now.
That's right.
But Eddie Murphy, like, he used to be so screamingly hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean... I thought Delirious was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life until I saw Raw.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. And when he hit movies, he was so great because he just had that fire. And then I think he got a little older and then did the clumps and...
No, he got what he asked for.
Got his money. All
and
right.
I'm like, okay, well, now I've made my money. What do I do now? Yeah. Oh, I know. Spend it.
Yes, exactly. Well, and... What's weird is he's actually had a couple of really huge dollar movies.
Oh, yeah.
That weren't even released. You know, like bankrupting companies. Like, we can't release Pluto Nash. Are you high on drugs, cigarettes?
That's what he gets for making fun of Bill Cosby back in the day with Leonard Part 6.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Squelish.
You are squelish to be in a Leonard Part 6 about these
times. Exactly. Melted butter.
But I want to see him do another stand-up tour.
Sure, do that like Seinfeld did.
Yeah, if Eddie were to break it down like Seinfeld and do that stand-up again, first off, who wouldn't go to an arena to see Eddie Murphy do stand-up?
Yeah.
I mean,
I just want him to go out there, and I like Chris Rock.
Uh-huh.
I think Chris Rock's a very funny and very brilliant comedian. Mm-hmm. But part of me, there's some kind of latent hostility. I don't know why. I want him to come out there and just go, this is how it's done, Chris.
Right.
Just like somebody will do to... What's his name? Lopez.
George Lopez.
George Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Latino comedian will come along someday.
Yeah.
Like the Mashiach. He will show up and he will do an entire 2-hour show and not mention that he's Latino.
Awesome. Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Wow. Well, here's the thing I think what it is with Chris Rock. You kind of heard of him and he was sort of funny. Sort of. And then he came out with Bring the Pain.
Oh, and then, he's hilarious.
But it was more like, how did he get that good that fast?
Right.
And you kind of get this, like, did he Robert Johnson it? Did he sell his soul to the devil?
No, he was always pretty funny.
Yeah, but, he was always, like, 6 out of 10.
He figured out how to do it right.
Yeah, and it's because he did the work.
Right.
But I think that's sort of where it is, where it's like, wait a minute, how... Kind of like Ricky Gervais, how out of nowhere he's everywhere. And have you ever heard his stand-up?
Yes.
God damn, that's good.
Yeah.
And what's weird is he was never really a stand-up.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big Eddie. I'm not. No. Mm-hmm. I got the proviso here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm gonna go.
I'm not that big about. Well, just for me, I just want to get out before you said whatever you're gonna say.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not a big fan of his thing because it's kind of the same old shtick.
Right.
No big deal. But the first time I saw him, I was like, it was just some guy, some character actor in a movie. I'm like, oh, what an original gag. Too bad he doesn't have any others in his bag of tricks.
Here's the part. When he's funny, it's well rehearsed, it's worked in, he is amazing. He has a whole bit about Darth Vader in line at the cafeteria on the Death Star. It's one of the goddamn funniest things I've ever seen. But there are a couple of specials with him where he's not fully rehearsed.
Yeah, that's got to be bad.
And if you ever hear him even trying to improv at all.
Yeah, he's not that kind of guy.
Yeah. When he's got his shit worked out to the second, he's brilliant.
It's like when Robin Williams' last big, no, I don't know if his last one, last one I saw was heavy with the 9/11 stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously very, very scripted and written out. He's not that kind of comedian.
No. Although I will say this, I never really bought the he just improv.
No, me neither. But
all he ever did was he improvised the order that things went in. He kind of knew what he was going to say.
Right, and this one just had more. If there was any construct, it was there more. You could see the scaffolding more. Right. Let me put it that way.
But Eddie, I still think might have it in him. But he was so young when he started out.
Yeah.
And
it's
tough to get back to that. I mean, like, look at the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Are they ever going to put out anything as good as their early stuff? No.
Nope.
And that's not a slam against them. You get to a point where you can't be a punk anymore.
Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic was a great record. Probably their best, but I still like Mother's Milk better.
Yeah. Oh, same here. Well, it's like Metallica. You know, and
they're all fine, man. And Justice, they ain't kill them all. It's not Master. It's just not.
Yeah, Black Album.
Technically, probably, well, not probably, it is technically superior to anything they've ever done, technically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Still want to hear Battery from Master of Puppets.
Exactly. Yeah. But then you look at Eddie, could he pull it off anymore? Or does he need to just hang it up and be like, whatever.
Maybe it would be like Death Magnetic.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, you can still kind of borrow from yourself, but it would be kind of a mockery.
Exactly.
Or self-parody, rather.
It's all just ballistics.
Right.
Just how loud and stupid can we be?
It would still be pretty funny, just like that record's kind of good.
Yes, exactly.
But it's not going to be great.
Not at all.
Yeah.
How about George?
Like Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
That's right.
That's right.
Steven Seagal.
Is George Romero even worth mentioning?
No.
I never thought he was that good, I'm not going to lie. Just never thought he was that good?
No, well, I've used that George Romero joke way too many times about my theory, so. Knight Rider's George, that's where the toast is buttered.
Yes. But no, yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go on record again. He didn't intend to have any commentary. There's a scene with zombies pushing
He didn't know.
Cars, and that is, there's
he
one
He didn't
shot.
Know, and he was smart enough not to say he didn't.
Yeah. Well, and what kills is there's one shot of zombies pushing shopping carts, and people are like, well, the remake just doesn't have social commentary. No.
He didn't know.
No. How about Dan Aykroyd?
Oh, Dan, yeah, that's right.
He's got a vodka.
He's doing Yogi Bear now.
Good God, I forgot that for a split second. You know who's the voice of Boo Boo?
Justin Timberlake.
This is fucking weird.
You'd think I wouldn't do any prep for this show, and I didn't. I just...
You just knew.
Just knew that.
After The Social Network, I'm surprised that Timberlake would do it, but I got no beef with him. Just...
Hey, man. Pay me.
I was over at VJ's, and we looked up Crystal Skull Vodka, which is Aykroyd's... brand of
really
vodka. And, well, and it's because it's the bottle is a skull and it's like
okay
sure I guess
all right
not. But it's like 5 minutes of Dan Aykroyd
it's a crystal skull on the is the top of a skull
no the bottle itself
is a skull.
Yeah,
how can we market to Glenn Danzig?
Yes.
That Kerry King's not buying enough vodka. We need a bottle that says, Kerry King, buy me.
What's that guy's name with the cross of St. Peter on his forehead?
Oh, Glenn Benton?
Glenn Benton.
From DSI? Yeah, buy this, you putz.
Satan. To buy our fucking vodka. But no, and it's literally a five-minute video of him going, we firmly believe that our vodka is the fine. And he's being serious. It's like... Say something funny. Put the vodka in a blender.
Yeah.
Do the vodka-matic.
Right.
Just whip it up into something. Kevin Costner, schmeh.
Oh, Kevin's really not
Kevin
really
Costner
had it.
Needs to be a baseball player in every movie.
He needs to be a baseball announcer.
Yeah. Possibly.
But a bad one.
Yes.
Like, my friend Mark does this thing about Kevin Costner doing, you know, old man Costner reading the sports page, married to a really young girl that wants to go out and, like, try a new fancy restaurant, but it's probably going to upset his stomach or whatever. So he just has his glasses down on his nose reading the sports page. We're not doing that tonight, you know. And yeah. She goes, fucks the gardener.
I don't know why this reminded me. Have you seen the my favorite actor? Oh, yeah, that'd be Kevin Bacon. And have you seen the commercial?
No.
It got Kevin Bacon, like, in kind of a pudgy suit with a bald cap on and these big glasses. He's like, oh, my favorite actor? That'd have to be Kevin Bacon. I just love everything he does. And it's him playing this obsessive super fan. It's awesome. But Costner, like, make him a baseball announcer with Bob Uecker.
Yes.
Put Bob Uecker on anything. You have anything, Bob Uecker. Anything, and I'll watch
it's
it.
It's funny.
I don't care what it is. I'm down. Yeah. I know you know some guy bites the heads off chickens.
Put Costner on Baseball Tonight.
How about Bruce Willis? Do we think Bruce Willis is getting a little too old for it?
No, I don't think he has. I still enjoy Bruce when he does it well. I don't think he can do McClane anymore.
Yeah.
He's too old for that.
But he does so many bad movies, like that the thing with the robots.
Oh, yeah. Surrogates.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater because some guy I worked with was like, yeah, it'll be funny. And I was like, whatever, it's Friday.
Well, no, yeah, hey, man, I've been there.
It was horrid.
Did that after cooking school. Went to school with a guy named Seth, who was my partner in Bake Shop. He's like, hey, every day it seemed after Bake Shop, hey, let's go check out this horror movie. Okay, saw White Noise in the theater. Awful. Of course it is.
But EVPs are real.
Yes, they are.
I've heard them on Ghost Adventures.
Somehow the white noise of this radio is picking up radio signals. He said pit beef sandwich.
It is.
We just caught this uncanny EVP when the pudgy guy with the goatee walked through the bathroom. He said, get out. I'm going to renovate.
I'm going to renovate. Here's one that I think is fitted. Fucking Jim Carrey.
Oh, yes.
It's almost sad when he's in interviews. Like, they played a bit on Howard Stern when his movie Yes Man came out.
Oy.
And this interviewer's like, so, did you just say yes to everything now?
Oh, God, what a nightmare.
I know, she didn't do that, but that's just what she did in my mind, and I wanted to put that image in your head.
Somebody did.
But he was like, yeah, sure.
Good Morning LA, someone did that on Good Morning LA.
Yeah, sure. What do you want to do? And he's trying to be hip and cool. And
so do you hate Christmas that you played the Grinch?
He's done it a little more gracefully than I thought he would, because he's not whipping out the ass-talking, rubber-faced fart smithery. But
you did 23, Jim.
I didn't see that.
Oy.
Does he talk out of his butt in it?
He should have.
Or figuratively?
It would have helped. The writer did.
Typed the whole script with his butt.
With his ace.
It just looked... but yeah, Jim Carrey just can't pull that shit off anymore. And it's a little tiresome, I'm going to go with here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Cusack's getting a little old on me. It's just that he doesn't appear to be enjoying what he does anymore.
No, he doesn't.
He just seems like he's begrudgingly on set. And then when he's interviewed somewhere, he's just like, he's turned into his character from High Fidelity.
Pretty much.
I've got a few cigarettes, but I'm saving them.
I don't want sad bastard music, Barry. I just want something I can ignore.
Oh, yeah, that's Joey working in a record store. He's a crappy pap that none of us like. The perfect quantity.
Perfect amount of Jack Black. There should never be any more. Should never be, you know, Gulliver. Oh, wait.
Jack Black is like fennel.
You know, right.
Use as little as you can.
Yes.
And
correct.
If you use too much, then it tastes like shitty licorice.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to go to my number one thing I'm too old for. Nostalgia being attached to quality. Now, there's two sides to this. One, I can't have nostalgia used to sell me shit anymore.
Hmm.
And right now, okay, I told you this earlier. I'm going to go cut myself shaving right down here, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
On my chin, got this little dot, a little dunning. I have spent more time this week thinking whether or not that's developing into MRSA that could kill me. Spent more time thinking about that than I've thought about going to see Tron Legacy. And I know you are okay with it.
No, yeah, I want to see it. I'm excited.
The first movie was shit.
Man.
And anyone who likes it is riding a nostalgia train. It looks pretty.
How am I riding a nostalgia? I can't even speak. Nostalgia train. How is that? I liked the first movie. I want to see this one.
How can you like that
first? I don't know. I just do.
It's nostalgia because you're like when you were a kid.
I just saw it recently, and I still liked it.
Thinking about when you were a kid.
All right.
Mm. Movies are very boring. It looks pretty. It does.
No, it does. No, there's not much story to it.
No, there isn't. That's where in my problem. Because it's boring. It's very boring.
Right. Okay.
And the new one, yeah, it looks so good. But, you know, if that's what entertains people, like, I can give you a website where you can buy a laser pointer.
Now I know what Inglourious Basterds review looks like. It looked like this.
What?
With me going off about it.
Exactly. Like, you want, I can give you a laser pointer. Yeah. You can shine at the wall and be like, wow. But that's like, it just, and it looks like it's going to be paper thin again. But I know that it's being sold to me based off of, remember that movie that came out when you were 7 that had a plot that didn't make sense when you were 7?
Mm.
Here's another one. But this one is
shinier.
Fancy and shiny and Jeff Bridges.
It's going to be fancier.
Waxy. But using that, and that again goes into, you know, pushing all of these things that are based off of shit from when we were kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And but there's a flip side. And hey, if you want to see Tron Legacy, great. I don't care. I just don't care.
Sure.
I look at the previews and I go, I could play a video game and actually have control. I think I'm going to do that. And hey, and if it turns out to be great, I'll be the first one to come on and say, that was a good fucking movie.
Sure.
You know I'll call myself out on shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rare. There's another one. When people talk about, well, George Lucas is just raping my childhood by doing this. If altering a movie, destroys part of your childhood, then you had better spend a significant amount of your childhood fucking chained to a pipe in a cellar somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was the only shade of joy that
you had. And you should have been raised by Albert Fish.
Albert Fish?
He's a child killer.
Okay. Well, there we go. Exactly. If you were not raised in that hellacious environment and the only thing you had to get you through it was a tattered old VHS copy of The Empire Strikes Back, then it's not
right.
Ruining your childhood. It's an upsetting amendment to something.
Yeah, I don't know who originally came up with that hyperbolic statement, but it's been used a hell over, like with the remake of, but another version of Charlie and Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Like, it raped my childhood. It raped my childhood. It was completely different.
And if it raped your childhood, then your childhood was...
And you can't find one of the bigger marks for that original movie than me.
Yeah. Your childhood.
I wouldn't rate by it. I'm like, well, that was okay.
I wouldn't rate by it.
No rape.
I don't know why that statement.
Well, that wasn't rape by it. But there were people that were. They were all pissed off. I'm like, if we just tell them no, man, fight them off.
Yeah, sorry.
And carry some, you know, cinematic pepper spray next time so you don't get raped.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
But and that's what it gets. And this is somebody who is passionate about film. I don't love any movie enough to be like, they went in and they set a Duvac in the back of Star Wars when they're going to Mos Eisley and it wasn't there. Like, shut up.
Right.
You are talking about a man who made action figures with names for characters that weren't on screen.
Yeah.
And you're surprised to ratchet another fucking quarter at you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, George. They don't care. They don't. That's why we're getting everything re-released in 3D, because they're like, you know, I don't think Star Wars has generated enough enough revenue lately, so here's what I'm going to do. But if it had an effect on your childhood, I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Just because, man, I had a bike. And I had, like, friends.
When I was growing up, and you were growing up, we had this thing called outside.
Outside, exactly. And other people.
Other people outside.
And, yes, for all you cellar dwellers out there, we're so, so sorry.
Yeah, outside. Got to play outside a lot. And then, you know, Dad realized I was doing a lot of playing.
Yeah.
And work came in. But I was still outside.
And you're building forts and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And then every once in a while, I'd watch a movie a couple of times. But it's not raping your childhood.
No rape.
No, none at all. Well, I think that pretty much sums up the too old for this.
What we're trying to say is no rape and pit beef sandwiches.
Pit beef sandwiches. That's, if you are in favor of either of these statements. If you are opposed to rape and in favor of pit beef sandwiches, then join us on Facebook.
Yes,
we're
that's
gonna
it.
Start a new page, anti-rape pro pit beef sandwich.
That's right.
.edu.
A few things we just have to put a line in the sand about in this show.
There it is.
Those are two of the three. The other one was killing child rapists.
No, yeah, yes, yes. And now, finally, I get to be the one. If you're pissed at something I've said...
Yeah, I like this. Because I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, if you've got a big bucket full of tears about Tron, the email is thefilmthugs@gmail.com. Send me your shit about how much you love Tron.
Just text Jim directly, Nicole.
And I will send you a web address where you can purchase fractal posters and black lights. And it will have the same fucking effect, okay? Just go to Spencer's and buy some weird shit that'll glow in the dark. And you'll be like, ooh, oh, boogity, boogity, boogity. It's like an 8-bit video game. Ha, ha, ha.
It's so good not to be the bad guy on this one. So good.
I am reveling in this. Yes, email us, check us out on Facebook, check out our website. We need more people to join us on Facebook. It's just a goddamn sad site. I want to get to 100 people, and we're nowhere near it.
That's so sad.
I want to be there. But anyway, email and tell me what a cock I am because I don't like your fucking Atari movie, motherfuckers. Yeah, I'm just going with it now.
That's right. See how great it is?
All I've got in me is water right now. Yeah, I know. And I'm just... And a shitload of B12.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, email us all, any of that. I think... Jesus. I kind of...
Inglourious Basterds sucked!
Yeah.
Had to get in there.
All right, there it is, man. I let that one off the chain and it feels so good.
And it feels so good.
Anyway,
with the song following, Chuck Mangione's Feels So Good.
Nice. I might go with the Van Halen Feels So Good. Who knows? Anyway, join us on Facebook, email, and tell me what a cock I am because I have the attention span of somebody over 7, and we'll have it. I just keep fucking digging.
Hey, man, I do it all the time. I do it off mic.
So, do you have anything else to say?
End of line.
End of line.
All right, thank you very much for listening through it. Like I said, we had the content. It's just there were some technical issues. But thank you for sticking with us. Join us on Facebook. We've got all kinds of stuff there. Thefilmthugs.com, thefilmthugs@gmail.com. We'll send you stuff. We love you. We really do. We started off with a clip from Garden State. Threw in a little bit of Christian Bale Meltdown along with some Monty Python on the Holy Grail. Musically, Neil Young's Old Man. Right now, ZZ Top's Old Man. Again, join us. We're looking for 100 members. Then more, you know. Sky's the limit. But anyway, next week, I think we're doing Epics. So, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Someone tells him about his hearing. It's no news to those who've been around while things were changing. Oh. Oh.
Please stay for the end credits. If you're wondering who the best boy is, it's someone's nephew. Don't forget to validate your parking. And for all of you good people in the Midwest, I'm sorry we said fuck so much. Say goodnight.
Thanks again.
Now go. Vanish.
Spread it on!